The great Stromberg is a famous piano teacher, but one of his students begins to suspect he may be a fraud. Play Chopsticks for Me by Alex Shearer is read by Jonathan Keeble.
Go, they said, to Stromberg. If anyone can teach the tone deaf to play the piano, he can. Yes, go, they said, immediately. So I went. I found Stromberg in a terraced house in Montpellier. He had three pianos in the living room and a baby grand stuck in the hall.
Just climb over it, he said. I am spring cleaning.
We went on into the music room. He looked me up and down.
So, he said, you have any musical ability?
None whatsoever, I assured him.
Stromberg said. Let me see your hands. Well, you don't seem to have the right number of fingers, and that's something. Only tell me, why have you left it so late in life to begin?
I just got divorced, I explained, and I need something to do in the evenings. There's only so much time a man can spend standing in the queue at the Chinese takeaway.
You do realize, he said, that you'll never get up to concert standard.
If I can even get up to chopstick standard, that'll be something, I said. Stromberg fixed me with his beady mid-European eye.
Why? He said simply, me.
Because, I said, I heard you were the best. That when it came to the slow learner and the musically dyslexic, you were the business.
It's true,
he acknowledged with becoming modesty.
I am a perfectionist, a stickler for the technique.
Slow but sure is what I heard, I went on. Painstaking and methodical. You can have faith in Stromberg, is what they told me, and I have.
Very well, Stromberg said, his face breaking into a smile. You have persuaded me. I will take you on as my pupil. You will learn at my knee.
He seemed rather short of furniture.
We will begin immediately, if you wish.
I wish, I said.
Right, Stromberg said. Then let us commence. Lesson one, sitting on the stool.
I thought at first that I must have misheard him, but no.
Yes, the stool, he repeated. The whole of the first lesson will be devoted to the art of sitting on the stool.
But I know how to sit on...
No, you don't, he said. You maybe think you do, but you don't, because this isn't an ordinary stool. This is a piano stool. You get the basics wrong, you'll never play the piano properly. I know a dozen, 100 promising pianists who never made the grade because of poor stool technique. So lesson one, the stool.
The stool it is, I said. You're the boss. So, we spent the first lesson on a piano stool.
It is important to have the buttocks equidistant from an imaginary central line dividing the stool into two parts, Stromberg explained. Mastery of the buttocks will enable the pianist to give full expression to his emotional interpretation of the composition. Here, you have a go.
I did.
No, no, Stromberg cried. You have allowed yourself to get into a very bad style with the posture. You have what we in the musical profession call sloppy buttocks. A pianist with sloppy buttocks can never attain real greatness. I will give you a series of exercises which will enable you to rectify this. Practice these 15 minutes a day, every day without fail, and I will see you again in a week.
For the next 7 days, I practiced the buttock exercises and developed my piano stool technique. I returned to Stromberg's for my second lesson and showed him what I had achieved.
Excellent, he cried. You have the makings of a real musician. I propose that as we now have the knack of the piano stool and the hang of the buttocks, we move swiftly on to the next stage.
I get to play a tune? I asked. For a moment, Stromberg did not reply, but his eyebrows darkened around him.
Tune, he said. You have the effrontery to tell me you want to play a tune when you haven't even begun to master the art of lifting up the lid?
The lid? I asked in all innocence.
The lid! Don't you know that the art of lifting the piano lid is 50% of the whole performance?
I didn't, but I was prepared to take his word for it. He was the expert, after all. He had taught the greats. The lid it is, I said. Show me the lid. I am hungry for the lid. We spent the whole of that lesson on the lid. You'd think there'd be nothing to it, to lifting up a piano lid, but you'd be wrong. There's a right way and some 300 wrong ways, and I blundered through them all. When the end of the lesson came, my elbows were aching and my biceps were swollen to twice their normal size.
Still a little work needed, Stromberg said, on the lid. I will give you some exercises to do at home. The trick is, it is all in the wrists, and don't neglect the buttocks. No sense in forgetting what you've only just learnt. The buttocks and the lid, 15 minutes apiece.
There's a problem, I said.
A problem? Stromberg said dismissively. Problems are there to be overcome. What is this minor, petty, piffling problem?
I haven't got a lid, I said.
You haven't got a lid?
No, I explained. I got the piano cheap in a car boot sale, and the reason I got it cheap was that it didn't have a lid.
Then I'll tell you what, Stromberg said. I don't like to see you stuck. I will lend you a lid to take home and practice with.
You will? I said. Oh, that would be most kind.
I'm sure I have an old one somewhere, he said. I will go and look in the loft.
He was gone 10 minutes, and there was a lot of cursing and muttering, followed by a tremendous crash and a scream. He returned with his hand in a bandage and a piano lid under his arm.
Here we are, he said. But look after it. I don't want it damaged, and I'll have to ask you to leave a small deposit as a sign of good faith.
I gave him £10.
And perhaps a small weekly rental?
I handed him 50 pence.
Good. Well, off you go now and do your practice, and I will see you at the same time next week. Don't forget your lid.
I took my lid and I went. Stromberg closed the door behind me. He seemed to have a very good door-closing technique. I resolved to ask him about that at some point. That weekend I was accidentally invited to a party. Someone mentioned that I was studying the piano.
Show us what you've learned so far,
they cried, hungry for entertainment. I haven't learnt much, I said.
No, don't be modest, they insisted. Show us what you can do.
So I did. I showed them my sitting on the piano stool, with special emphasis on the buttocks. This went down very well. Then I gave a demonstration of the correct way of lifting the lid. This went well, too. Not as well as the buttocks, but well enough. I was about to proceed with my recital when an ominous creak from the stool told me it would be unwise to continue. I apologized, and my audience were sympathetic. I took a bow and returned to my glass of wine. Someone put on a CD of Rachmaninoff then, but to my mind it was inferior stuff. The recitalist plainly didn't have his buttocks under control, especially the one on the left, and frankly, his lid was all over the place. 2 days later, I went for my next lesson.
So show me, Stromberg said, what progress we have made with the lid.
I showed him.
Bravo, he cried. What mastery, such technique. Why, I haven't seen such dexterity with the lid since I taught Chopinini back in 76. Oh, I only wish there was an exam for the lid. You would pass it with flying distinctions.
A little praised as wonders, and I felt that my time had not been wasted. So, I said, does that mean that today we can start on the keyboard? But no. Stromberg threw up his hands in horror.
The keyboard? He yelled. Again with the keyboard. Always with the keyboard. Is this all I am ever to hear? You want to run before you can walk? Keyboard, indeed. Whoever heard of anyone laying a finger upon the keyboard before they had first mastered the metronome?
The metro...
Gnome. Why, the metronome is almost a lifetime study in itself. I have pupils who have spent 4, maybe 5 years on the metronome and never got beyond it. 2 or 3 weeks on the metronome is nothing. Why, I remember when I taught Rimsky-Korsakov himself. What trouble he had with the metronome. And now he plays all over the world, and his metronome goes with him. He has a special seat for it on the aeroplane. It sits there next to him in the first class. His metronome on one side, his piano on the other. No one can ever do too much practice with the metronome.
So, we had 3 weeks on the metronome. No, I tell a lie, it was 4. At the start of the next lesson, just when I was afraid that it would be metronome again, Stromberg looked at me and said,
my friend, I'm going to give you another gold star for the metronome and proceed without further ado to...
To the keyboard? I asked.
To opening the sheet music, Stromberg said. The art of opening the sheet music without it getting crumpled or without it falling off the stand, and how to turn the pages over without losing the temper. Yes, I think we may well have to spend 5 or 6 weeks on the sheet music before we can go on to the other things.
The way it worked out, we had 7 weeks on opening the sheet music. I began to grow suspicious. After the sheet music, we had a month on positioning the feet above the pedals. This was followed by 2 weeks' in-depth study on piano tuners, how to find one in the yellow pages, the art of the phone call to the piano tuner, how long to wait in for him before you decide he's not going to come, whether to offer him coffee or tea, the art of unwrapping the digestive biscuits, and so on and on. I developed a permanent migraine and began to grow even more suspicious of Stromberg. That weekend, I mistakenly got invited to another party. I realized that I'd been going to Stromberg for over a year now and still hadn't learned a single note.
Show us what you can do on the piano, someone said. How are the lessons going?
So I showed them, sitting on the stool. lifting the lid, winding up the metronome, opening the sheet music, positioning the feet over the pedals, looking in the yellow pages for a piano tuner. Then I went and sat down on the sofa.
"But what about a tune?" someone called. "You've been studying for over a year now. I mean, haven't you learnt any tunes?"
To save face, I pretended to get angry.
"A tune?" I cried. "How can you talk to me about tunes? Do you know nothing about music? A tune, indeed. How can you even suggest such a thing? Did Strauss ever play tunes? Did Scarlatti, did Bach trouble himself with tunes? Not until he had arranged the latest doilies on the harpsichord he didn't. Tunes, indeed. What philistines!"
And I stormed off in a huff, but my suspicions were slowly turning to certainties. I went to Stromberg for the next lesson.
"Today,"
he said,
"we will spend some time on learning how to polish the piano woodwork and how to clean the keys."
"Stromberg," I said before he could go further, "I want you to play me a tune." He looked at me blankly.
"Play you a what?"
he said.
"A tune," I demanded. I've been coming here for lessons for over a year and have yet to hear you play a single note on the piano. I want you to play me a tune now."
He clutched at his chest as if his heart might suddenly give out.
You doubt my abilities?
As a sign of good faith, Stromberg, I said, play me chopsticks.
Chopsticks?
He wailed.
He wants me to play him chopsticks. You know the work involved in playing chopsticks? The research, the travel, the years spent in Beijing absorbing the culture.
Okay, anything. Play me anything. Just play it.
Stromberg crossed to the piano. He sat on the stool as only he knew how. He opened the lid as only the true maestro can. He wound up the metronome as to the metronome born. He opened the sheet music with such style and feeling it would have brought the tears to your eyes. The way he arranged the lace doilies. Oh, I am too overcome to speak of it. His feet hovered above the pedals. His hands weighted above the keys. And then...
"Sorry,"
he said.
"I'm not really in the mood. In fact, maybe we should spend a couple of lessons on that, on getting into the right mood."
I didn't stay. I turned on my heel and headed for the door.
"Stromberg," I said, "you are nothing but a confidence trickster. You have taken my money for 18 months, and you haven't taught me a single thing worth knowing. I'm giving up the piano right now."
"Ha," he said. "I always knew you were a quitter. How do you expect to learn a musical instrument if you won't stick with it, if you give up at the first hurdle?"
I could have screamed. I could have done him an injury with the metronome. But no, I just turned and I went with quiet dignity. As I walked down the garden path, the downstairs window opened and his head appeared.
"You've still got my lid,"
he said. "I'll post it to you," I told him. "Second class." And that was the last I saw of him. On my way home that night, I called in at the Chinese takeaway for something to keep my strength up. 15 and 27, I ordered.
42,
the man behind the counter said. How we laughed. Yes, it does you good to talk to people. I didn't attempt to find another piano teacher. I gave up on the whole idea. I decided to try a smaller, more portable instrument, and on asking around for the name of a good teacher, was told to contact Miss Golda Reinberger, who was apparently an absolute genius at teaching the violin to the maturer student. I've been going to her for 8 weeks now, and have already mastered the arts of opening the violin case, of tightening up the bow, of tucking the violin under the chin, and of standing with the feet properly apart. I'm streets ahead of most of her other pupils, as many of them haven't yet studied the metronome. Next week, we're starting on how to apply the rosin. Then there's a break for the summer. Then Miss Reinberger will be holding a special intensive seminar on how to set up the music stand, followed by a music stand assembly performance, to which close friends and relatives may be invited. Then she's promised that we'll be able to start to make some real music. Oh, she's much better than Stromberg. Once bitten, twice shy, as they say, and I'm too long in the tooth to get caught that way again. I have 100% faith in her, and I'd recommend her to anyone. I've also made friends with the owner of the local Chinese takeaway. He's promised to teach me how to use the chopsticks. Apparently, you start by learning the piano.
Play Chopsticks for Me by Alex Shearer was read by Jonathan Keeble. The producer was Pam Fraser-Solomon.